Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, thank you for joining me today. I will honestly say I am not sure how this is going to go. It's kind of like those recent episodes where I shared those hymns and then randomly shared something from my heart about the words I was reading. Well, today I have some scriptures that I have been meditating on recently that I want to read to you. And as I do, just see what comes out of my heart to share with you. I may just read them and allow the Holy Spirit to let a phrase stand out to you. And if that happens, I suggest that maybe you pause this and meditate on it to see if God has more to say to you, if there's just something that stands out to you as I'm going along. I would like to start out before I read these scriptures with prayer. Father, I just thank you for this time that we are spending together. And Holy Spirit, we invite you, we welcome you, we need you to just come in and breathe life into the word that we're going to be reading today. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to be at work in our hearts, in our souls, in our spirits, Lord, to do something today that will just set us a little more free from the darkness of grief that we have found ourselves in. And so, Lord, we just ask you to come and do whatever it is you want to do during this time that we are spending together. And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, I am going to start out by reading 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 through 11. Now, part of this is probably going to be familiar to you. And my daughter, Becca, there was a song called Yes, Lord, Yes, that came out years ago. And Becca, when she would lead worship, this was kind of her song. Whenever our church sang this, she would sing the verses, and then we would all come in on the chorus. And this really was a life scripture for her towards the end of her life. And so I'm going to go a little bit ahead of that, and it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to start with verse 4, which says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. Now, right there is something interesting to think about. Has Satan, who is the god of this world, blinded your mind possibly to where you don't believe that God is good, or you don't believe that God can bring you out of this darkness? The doubts that we have at this point, right? If you have these doubts about who God is, does he really love us? Does he really care? Is he really real? That means that according to this, Satan, who is the god of this world, may have blinded your mind in unbelief. It goes on to say they are unable to see the glorious light. And I know it doesn't feel like good news, does it? But it is good news because we're not separated from our children forever. We get to see them again. And I know that they don't get to experience the fullness of life here. But man, oh man, they are exploring and experiencing a fullness of life that we can't even begin to comprehend. Okay, let's go on. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. A lot of times we picture Jesus as kind of the good God, and he's there to like stand in the way that Father God is up in heaven with a big stick, and he's just ready for us to mess up so he can bash us with his stick. And that Jesus is the one like standing in between us saying, oh, no, no, God, they belong to me. Don't hurt them. Don't do anything bad to them. But Jesus himself, when he was here, he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I am God in the flesh. This verse says they don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So if you love Jesus and you love what you read in the Word about Jesus and you love his compassion and his care for people, you are seeing God's compassion and his care for people. because Jesus is or was God in the flesh walking here on this earth. Let's go on to verse 5 here. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake, for God who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Once again, if we see Jesus, we are seeing God. There is light in the darkness because of the glory of God, who is Jesus. Verse 7 says, "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure." And I guess this is the verse that really struck me as I was, you know, meditating on this scripture here. We are fragile jars of clay. We're just clay jars. Easily broken, easily shattered, but we are containing the light. We are containing the glory of God. And because we ourselves are just fragile clay jars, the scripture goes on to say this makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We don't have what it takes to live in this world, do we? But we house in our fragile clay jar vessels, we house the glory and the power and the wisdom of God. Everything that we need is inside us as God is inside us. Now, here's the scripture that was the song. This is a little bit of a different version than what that song was, but it says, "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed." I know it may feel like, yes, I am crushed. I am driven to despair. I do feel abandoned by God. I do feel destroyed. But that is the clay vessel that you're feeling. You're feeling that fragile clay jar that's us. And the reason we can be pressed down but not crushed is because of God in us. We are not driven to despair because of God's glory and light in us. We're not abandoned by God. He's still in you. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed because God is still in you. God is still in me. We cannot be destroyed because God cannot be destroyed. Our vessel, our jar of clay, may be destroyed, but we ourselves, the person we are, is not destroyed. Verse 10 says, "Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in us." You know, Joseph, the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, most of us are very familiar with that. Sold into slavery by his own brothers, put into prison for something he didn't do. He was in prison for 13 years for something he did not do. Joseph's life kept going the wrong direction over and over and over again. And yet God's plan was something so much bigger than anything Joseph or his family could have possibly realized. I don't know if you've heard the saying, "From prison to the palace." That was Joseph's life, from being sold into slavery, being put in prison for something he didn't do, and then all of a sudden finding himself second in command to the Pharaoh of the most powerful kingdom in the world at that time. There's no way anybody saw that. There's no way Joseph could have seen that when he was in prison for 13 years for something he did not do, he was accused of, but he didn't do it. As a matter of fact, he kept his integrity. That's why he didn't do it. Pharaoh's wife wanted him to sleep with her, and he said no, and he ran. And she grabbed him, you know, by the shirt, and he ended up peeling out of his shirt to get out of there because he was such a man of integrity. And yet, because she was so mad about it, she said, look, he came to me. He tried to sleep with me. He tried to rape me. Here's his shirt to prove it. And he got thrown into prison for being a man of integrity and running. So, you know, his whole life was just a mess of issues that looked like God was not with him, looked like God had abandoned him, looked like God had betrayed him. And yet, God was forming him. God was taking these circumstances and preparing him to be second in command to Pharaoh himself. I mean, that's really crazy when you think about it. You know, God often does not make sense with our minds, right? It doesn't make sense. Why would he allow this so much pain? Why would he allow these horrible things to happen? Why would he allow my child to die when he knew that I could barely breathe? It would hurt so much. Faith doesn't come by making sense of God, making sense of decisions, what he allows, what he doesn't allow. Quite often, you know, I was just reading this yesterday, a miracle. A miracle is something that only God can do. And quite often we pray and ask for miracles, right? But if miracles were common, they wouldn't be miracles. And I know each one of us wanted a miracle for our child. And it's really hard when we see someone else get a miracle that we asked and prayed for. And maybe some of us even expected God to do. But if God did a miracle for every single person who asked, it would no longer be a miracle. And all we would be doing is using God as a sugar daddy. We would just be pulling a lever and wanting the, you know, to win the lottery. God do this for me. God do that for me. And where's the relationship in that, right? Where is the relationship when if all we did was say, God, this is what I want, and he said, okay, and gave it to us? Where would our maturity be? Why, we would just be running around as Christian brats if we got everything we wanted from God just because we asked and we didn't want any pain, nothing hard to happen to us. But a miracle is something that only happens once in a while. Miracles are rare. Most often, God just allows what is set in motion in this world to just take place. And then he works within that in our lives as much as we will allow him to. Like I said, God doesn't make sense with our minds quite often. Faith doesn't come by making sense of God. He's too big for that. Faith is trusting God when he doesn't make sense, even when everything looks like it's going the wrong direction, the opposite way, like it's not God, this can't be God, this is too dark, it hurts too much. You know, a lot of us thought we had that strong kind of faith in God until our child died, which we talked about recently. We thought we had built our life on the solid rock of Jesus, but then we discovered that we were really on sinking sand. As Christians, like I said, we tend to think following Jesus will mean we'll have a good life and he won't allow bad things to happen. And that's not this world. That is the world to come that we call heaven, where our children are now. We're obviously not there, right? And I'm not going to go into why I believe we're here first right now. You know, we get saved. Why doesn't God just take us out of here? And I know, you know, people talk about that. Well, we're here to bring others to him and, you know, all kinds of things. I'm not going to go into that right now. But, and I think it goes a lot deeper than that myself. But I do want to read another passage of scripture that talks about when these difficult things happen in our lives. Because Jesus told us that we would have difficult things. Now, this is from Matthew chapter 13. It says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but When the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Now Jesus goes on to explain the parable, and he says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. Now, isn't it interesting? Because I always saw this as kind of a salvation parable. But I think it goes much deeper than that. I think it goes beyond that. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, these are the things that can happen. So the first one, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Now, as we go along, just see if one of these might be you. Maybe what soil? Think about what kind of soil have I been? I thought I was the fertile ground with, you know, yielding this hundredfold crop. But now, maybe at least in this area, maybe I didn't have the rich soil I thought I did. So we've got the seed that was sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, they quickly fall away. It actually says because of the word. And, you know, in our lives, a lot of us as Christians, we've been taught that the word says you claim your healing, you pray protection, and these are the things God is going to give you. So this trouble can come because of the word. And they quickly fall away because there was no root. That word wasn't the complete and total truth that God wanted us to live by. Now, another one was the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. The worries of this life chokes it out and makes it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. We understand it from God's point of view, not what man interprets and tells us. This is what the word means. This is how we're supposed to live. This is what we're supposed to do. But, you know, it says, I'm sorry, I don't remember the reference right off the top of my head, but you don't have a need for man to teach you because the Holy Spirit is your teacher. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't learn from each other, but we are not to solely rely on what man tells us God is saying. That's religion. When we allow man to be our interpretation of the word instead of allowing the Holy Spirit in relationship with him, be the teacher of the word. Now, I know some people, there's a lot of fear in that. You know, well, if you don't have man to teach you, people are going to go in rebellion and they're going to misinterpret and they're going to fall away. And do you think if we are relying on the Holy Spirit, we're praying, we're talking to him, we're allowing him to be our teacher, do you really think if our hearts are sincere that God is going to say, oh, nope, I'm just going to let you be deceived. I'm just going to let you fall away because you're not sitting under a pastor teaching you every Sunday, or you're not sitting, you know, whatever the situation is. I know there's, you know, I've been taught that, and we can learn. We learn from each other, but the Holy Spirit, even when you hear something that someone says, this is what the Bible says, this is the interpretation, this is what God meant when he wrote this, when he said this, you still have to take that to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, is this truth? is this for my life right now? Sometimes we hear something and it's not for us for the moment. And then we can, you know, have this big guilt trip laid on us because we're not doing what this pastor or person said we should be doing when it's not God's word to us. It might have been God's word to them, but it wasn't God's word to us for that moment in time. I don't know why I'm saying this. I'm really getting off here. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. Holy Spirit, we don't just want to hear the word. Holy Spirit, we want to understand it from what you are saying. We want to understand it from a place of truth so that we can have our roots in the good soil. It goes on to say, this is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Now, I also want to say that crop is going to look different for every single one of us. It doesn't mean that you're going to be yielding a crop of 100 souls coming to the Lord. Each one of us has a different crop. God has us planting different seeds in different fields, and it's all going to look different for each of us. But if you hear the word and you allow your heart to be good soil in this time of pain and darkness, in this time that doesn't make sense, just continue to yield to God. Just continue to keep your heart soft. Let him water. Let him be the nourishment that your soul needs, that your soil needs. And you will produce a crop, and it's going to be a beautiful crop. It's going to be something probably that you weren't expecting. You may not even see the crop yourself until others come to you and tell you what they're seeing and tell you what is growing in your life that is touching their lives. So, you know, like I already mentioned, what kind of soil are you? If you've been the rocky ground or the thorny ground, you can change it because it's all in the heart. Just like we may have thought that we built our life on the rock but found ourselves in sinking sand, we can get back on that rock. We may have thought we were good soil with our roots going deep into God's love for us, and now we find out that our roots weren't as deep as we thought, that we weren't the soil we thought we were. But you still can be that good soil, you know, to continue to live out a life of meaning and purpose again. We desperately need to be rooted and grounded in him. I want to read Psalm chapter 1 to you. It's very short. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow evil men's advice, who do not hang around with sinners, scoffing at the things of God. I think about those who do not follow evil men's advice when Job lost everything and his friends came. You know, the things they said were not God. We can, when we're angry at God, when we're confused, when we feel like God betrayed us, we can begin to follow other people's advice, hang around with sinners, scoffing at the things of God, because all of a sudden everything we thought we knew about God just came crashing down. Okay, but we don't want to do that. Verse 2 says, but they delight in doing everything God wants them to do. And that could be just resting. That could be just doing nothing but crying in his arms, just being a sobbing mess at his feet for an hour. It says they delight in doing everything God wants them to. And that doesn't mean it's going to be, we're going to do. Because sometimes what God wants us to do is to just be in his presence, be in his comfort, be in his healing. And it says, and day and night are always meditating on his laws, his words, his ways, and thinking about ways to follow him more closely, thinking about ways where we can get closer to him, even if we feel so distanced from him. Verse 3 says, they are like trees along a riverbank, bearing fruit each season. That's a crazy one to think about for me. Bearing fruit each season. How can we bear fruit in this season of deep grief? Well, I think sometimes bearing fruit, it doesn't mean that the fruit is going to, I guess I don't see this as, when it talks about bearing fruit each season, that doesn't mean that, you know, within a year of your grief, there's going to be this mature, ripened fruit hanging out there for people to partake of. But I think most of us know, we hear that when you plant an apple seed, it can take years for the apple tree to grow and actually begin to bear fruit. But each season, bearing fruit each season. And so our grief season when our child dies can take years. But that, because there isn't mature ripened fruit right now in our lives, doesn't mean that there isn't something going on within that seed that God is planting in us right now. And it's interesting, this whole thing about the seed, because it goes back to that parable that we just talked about, where he is putting the seed. And so bearing fruit each season, not each day, but each season. And it says, their leaves do not wither, and they prosper in all they do. And so even prospering in all they do, I think we're back to the understanding, hearing and understanding the word. They prosper in all they do. I don't think that necessarily refers to money and wealth, but they prosper in all they do. If I'm crying at the feet of Jesus because I'm hurting so bad and I can barely breathe and I just want to die and I'm begging God to get me out of here, I don't want to wake up tomorrow morning. Those are the kinds of things I found in myself. But prospering in all they do, because we are lamenting and we are bringing our pain to God. God, I'm so mad at you. God, I don't understand. But to me, this is prospering in what we do, because we're bringing all that and laying it at the feet of God. No matter how angry we are, no matter how confused we are, when we bring it to God, there's something in us that begins to prosper, that begins to grow, a fruit that begins, something that starts happening in us. It goes on to say, but for sinners, what a different story. They blow away like chaff before the wind. That's kind of like that parable again with the seed, isn't it? And it goes on to say, for the Lord watches over all the plans and the paths of godly men. Now, I'm just going to read through that same Psalm 1 in the Amplified Version. I don't think I'm going to put in my own comments. I think I'm just going to read through it, but let's see what happens here. It says, blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm going to interject already. I think about Joseph. You would have never thought that of him, right? Fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God. A man who was sold into slavery by his brothers, put into prison for 13 years, forgotten about while he was there when someone said they were going to put in a good word for him when they got out, and they didn't. And then, I mean, that is not fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God, is it? Not in man's eyes. But God knew what was coming later. So blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, following their advice and example, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit down to rest in the seat of scoffers and ridiculers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law, his precepts and teachings, he habitually meditates day and night, and he will be like a tree firmly planted and fed by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers and comes to maturity. The wicked, those who live in disobedience to God's law, are not so, but they are like the chaff without substance, which the wind blows away. What we're seeing here is that it's all about where is our heart. We can't understand all of God's ways, or he would not be God. We cannot be on the same level as the one who created us. We are still learning crazy things about how our body works, how our brains work, how our nerves work. We're constantly finding out new things about our bodies. And how could we be on the same level as the being that created this body, who created us? We can't. I have become convinced that most of us Christians have our hearts rooted in this world as our home and not heaven, which is our true home. We may say that's not the case, but we don't live that way. We are citizens of heaven. And I understand this is the here and the now, and this is where we live. But before our child dies, most of us, our hearts are not set on our future home where we will live for all of eternity. They might be there a whole lot more now, right? We're told to set our mind on things above, which is much easier to do now that our child is there waiting for us, but we grieve like this world is our home. This world was turned over to Satan by man, and we can only do so much here to control what happens. We are not the ones in control. And I know it's like, yeah, God's the one in control. Why didn't he stop what happened? And like I said, I'm not going to get into that now. And really, I don't think we would ever be able to have an answer that fully satisfies us here on earth in our finite brains and our limited understanding of the big picture of eternity. Proverbs 3 talks about when we don't understand, that's when we have to cling to him the tightest, not push him away because we don't understand, but hang on to him with everything we've got because we don't understand. You get to choose which one you're going to do. Proverbs 3, a familiar scripture to a lot of us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. We may have thought we did that before, right? Are you doing it now? Trust in the Lord with all your shattered pieces, broken pieces of your heart, and do not depend on, do not rely on your own understanding. Seek him in all your ways and all you do, and he will direct your paths. He will show you which path to take. I want to read this to you in what's called the Passion Translation. It says, trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. These verses don't say that, you know, trust in the Lord and he's going to make everything come out fine. It says trust in the Lord when you don't understand, and then allow him to lead you on the path that you find yourself on. I want to go on to verse 10 here. It says, then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings from an uncontainable source of inner joy. And that may seem really far-fetched to you right now, but I want to encourage you to let the inner sense of joy, which is knowing what your child is experiencing, is so much better than what they're missing out on here. The fact that this is not a permanent separation, but that we will be reunited with them. Let that be what you draw from the most, so that the inner joy eventually outweighs the inner pain. It's not possible 100% of the time, I can guarantee you that, but allow it to happen more and more until that inner sense of joy becomes what you're feeling most of the time instead of that inner sense of pain. Now, they can both be in us at the same time, but it's a matter of which one is outweighing the other. You can be mad at him and still hold on to him. In fact, that's the only way I know to get out of the darkness and back into a place of light, and then even moving on to a place of living a life of meaning and purpose again. And this is not in spite of your child's death, but because of his or her life and the life they are still living with the one who gave us the final victory over death. The Grieving Parent Sharing Hope podcast has won the podcast of the year in the spiritual category for the second year in a row from the American Writing Awards. Now, I didn't know David even entered it again, so I was surprised to get an email saying we had won the award for the second year in a row. So that's pretty exciting. If this podcast has been a help to you, would you please give it a rating and a review so that other grieving parents who are looking for the same hope you are receiving here will be able to find it. The more ratings and reviews there are, the higher up it gets in the search engines when these shattered parents are looking for a way out of the suffocating darkness that we all found ourselves in when our child died. I want to encourage you, even right now, go ahead, push pause, and do it right now before you forget, because we know with our grief fog, we forget a lot, right? So go ahead and pause this, and whatever platform you're listening to, go in there, back up a little bit until you find where you can put in that rating and a review. I appreciate it, and I know there are other bereavers that would appreciate it too by helping them find us. And also, just let others know about it. Word of mouth is the best way to do it. How often have you heard about something, you've thought about it, but then when you heard someone you knew talking about it, that's when you decided to check it out, right? Or maybe you'd never heard of a certain book or a restaurant, but a friend told you about it and how good it was, so you decided to look into it. Well, that's what I'd like to encourage us to do with this podcast. You can be a grieving parent sharing hope, which is our ultimate goal, to walk with you, helping you navigate your way through the darkness and being your hope for you until you have your own, and then eventually you being the hope for someone else who finds themselves on this unwanted journey. So please rate and review this podcast and share it with others. You never know who it's going to touch. And then hopefully they will become a grieving parent sharing hope themselves. So let's keep this chain of hope going. Also, if April is a rough month for you, like it is for me, because Becca's birthday is coming up on April 13th, and that can be a difficult day, be sure to get the Reflections of Hope book for the month of April. Now, these are daily readings with words of encouragement. They're about a page each. It isn't a devotional you need to keep up with every day. Just pick it up any day you need a little something extra to help you get through the day, and then read the entry for that day. There is also, if you didn't know, a hardback copy of the Reflections of Hope book that is a full year of daily readings. So if you prefer to have something in your hands for any time during the year, you need that extra boost of hope, you might want to consider getting the full year. Now, these can be ordered anywhere books are sold, but I will also put a link to both of them in the show notes for ordering. So this is where I would normally do the birthday segment, but surprisingly, there are no birthdays to announce this week. When Dave personally sends out the emails reminding you to listen that week to hear your child's birthday shared with the listeners, he also reminds you in that email to sign up again if you want your child to be on the following year. And we actually have quite a few during this week period that did not make that request to have it shared again. And I'm hoping it isn't because they forgot, but because they're at a place in their journey where they no longer have a need for the hope and the encouragement they received from us when it was so difficult those first few years. After all, this podcast has been going for almost 6 years now. And like I said, we want you to get to a place where you become a grieving parent sharing hope. Now, some bereavers want to continue staying connected at that point, and some don't, which I totally understand. So either way, we have no birthdays to announce this week, but I believe there are a few for next week. So with that, let's go ahead and wrap up today's episode. Now, we've been talking about having our roots in God, even when what happens in this life doesn't make sense and brings us so much pain. So I want to close with a scripture about our roots. This is Ephesians 3:17. Then by constantly using your faith, and remember we just need the faith of a mustard seed, right? So by using your faith, whatever amount of faith that is, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. And the resting place of his love will become the very root and source of your life. So as you allow God's love, which may not make sense because it doesn't seem like love right now, as you allow the resting place of his love to become the very root and source you live from, remember to hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.